To the Middle East now. It's being called a ground incursion by Israeli officials. It's being called an all-out war, an invasion by the international community, as the Israeli Defense Force invades Gaza late last night. Military-supplied images showed the targeting of a series of tunnels that reach from the Hamas-controlled territory into southern Israel. The goal, Israeli government spokesman Mark Regev told the Associated Press, is to see if Hamas is capable of going it alone.
Hamas today is isolated. It rejected an Egyptian ceasefire proposal that was sponsored by the Arab League and the United Nations. That same proposal was endorsed by the Palestinian government of President Mahmoud Abbas.
Spokesman for Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, that's Mark Regev speaking to the Associated Press. We're joined now by Daniel Kurtzer, former U.S. Ambassador to Israel and Egypt, who's now a professor at Princeton University. Welcome back, Ambassador.
Thank you, John.
So let's talk first about this idea of Hamas going it alone. Has Israel called Hamas's bluff on some level, since Egypt is not really a part of any sort of coalition with Hamas at this point, with all these ceasefires breaking down?
Well, from a public affairs standpoint, the answer is decidedly yes. Hamas has found itself in this conflict with very few friends, maybe Qatar and Turkey, but has also seen Egypt, which traditionally was a major supporter, move much closer to Israel. In fact, having coordinated the ceasefire proposal earlier this week with the Israelis, more so than with Hamas. So the Israelis are gaining something in terms of public affairs. The question is whether they've established conditions in which they can decide when to end this conflict, and that's a big question mark.
And what would constitute an end here? I mean, this is the first intervention like this that we've seen, I believe, in 5 years. It's hard to know what a mission goal would actually look like here.
Well, the Israelis have talked about two goals. One is to destroy as many of these tunnels as possible. In fact, the discovery of 12 or 13 infiltrators yesterday morning was probably one of the key precipitants of this ground invasion. But the second goal, which is harder to define, is to degrade Hamas's military capabilities and, quote-unquote, restore calm. So this would be a determination unilaterally by the Israeli government when it feels that calm has been restored. But there's no metric assessed or attached to it by which to measure when that's achieved.
What about the political situation? Would anything about this incursion or the situation in Gaza and how it's deteriorated loosen the hold that Hamas has on the people of Gaza politically and change the equation there?
The real question is going to be whether the maneuvering and the ceasefire can, on the one hand, bring the conflict to an end, but also empower Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestinian Authority. It appears that both the Israelis and Egyptians are trying to do that by negotiating the ceasefire conditions through him. And if, in fact, he can be seen as producing that ceasefire, then his fortunes will rise as Hamas's fortunes deteriorate. After all, the real victims here are the people in Gaza who are seeing their lives destroyed and their infrastructure destroyed. And the question is whether or not they will continue to provide support to Hamas or return it to the Palestinian Authority.
We know that there's an ideological difference between Hamas and Fatah, the two factions of the Palestinian Authority here, or the Palestinian people. But you have had direct contact with Mahmoud Abbas. I'm just wondering if these are not the times for a Mahmoud Abbas, that we need a fundamentally different sort of character to unite these two people, to build this bridge, to basically take the Palestinian people forward and get rid of this division between Gaza and the West Bank Palestinians.
You know, John, the reality is Abbas is probably the best we have and that we're going to get for some time to come. He has been a constant opponent of violence to achieve Palestinian ends, and he's been a constant supporter of peace. And there aren't many in the leadership ranks of Palestinian society who can claim both of those. So I think holding out for someone else is a prescription for failure. There are some jailed Palestinians who may have some popular support, but we don't know. Some of them have been in jail for 10 years, and it's hard to know what they would do were they to be released. So in a sense, you know, you have lemons, you make lemonade. You have Mahmoud Abbas. He's proven himself in times of war and peace, and I think it's a continued time to invest in him.
What do you think he's capable of doing unilaterally that might change the game here in terms of just sort of reaching into his bag of tricks or your sense of his imagination as a diplomat and a leader?
Well, the fact is he's not capable of doing anything unilaterally. He requires steps by Israel to empower him, whether it's a freezing of settlement activity or releasing of long-term prisoners or easing up on restrictions in the West Bank. After all, Abbas runs an authority that is under occupation and derives all of its ability to produce things for its population from its relationship with Israel. So the question after the fighting ends here, and hopefully Abbas is empowered a bit by negotiating a ceasefire, is whether or not Israel will allow a relaunched peace process in which Abbas can begin to deliver some positives to the population, economic as well as social.
Beginning with a possible freeze of settlements, which is something we've talked about on this program. Daniel Kurtzer, thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
Daniel Kurtzer is former U.S. ambassador to Israel and Egypt, now a professor at Princeton University.